thankful for the Holy Ghost. Would you give the Lord a hand clap of praise today? Hallelujah. Man, I'm telling you, there's no denying what you feel in this place today. Man, the Lord is doing a work in these last days. Stand with me if you're willing and able as we turn to the word of the Lord today. My heart is overwhelmed today, amen, with joy and with gratitude and with thankfulness, amen, to be a child of God, just one more day, to be living in these blessings, holding these precious truths, Brother Bo. How privileged are we today? I want to turn your attention today to the book of St. John, the 5th chapter. I'm aware you're probably worshiped out. But I ain't preached out yet. You have to bear with me for just a moment. The book of John, the 5th chapter, in the first verse, St. John 5 and 1. We're just going to read six quick scriptures today. You can shout yes when you get there. Amen. You can shout yes if you're thankful to be a child of God today. You can shout yes if you feel the Holy Ghost in this place today. You can shout yes if you feel like you're going to leave change from this house today. Hallelujah. Amen. The book of St. John, the 5th chapter and the first verse. I'm so very thankful for what we have felt in God's house today. St. John 5 and 1, the word of the Lord says, "After this there was a feast of the Jews. Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having 5 porches. And in these porches lay a great multitude of what the Bible calls impotent folk, of blind people, halt, withered people, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first, after the troubling of the water, stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. And a certain man was there, which had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, He said unto him, Wilt thou be made whole? Wilt thou be made whole? For the next few moments, I want to preach to you today a continuing series that I started earlier this year called Life is Good. Turn to your neighbor and say, Life is good. Amen. Life is good. We're going to talk about part 4 today, the price of being whole. The price of being whole. Lay your Bibles down gently in your seat. Clap your hands one last time unto the Lord and magnify His name all over this house. Come on, give Him a shout out of praise. Come on, give Him a shout out of praise. Plug into the light source today. How many felt the power of God in this place today? How many felt the power of God in this place today? How many know He ain't done yet? We're still feeling the power of God in this place today. Hallelujah. Life is good. Shout that with me today. Life is good. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Amen. And I tell you, I cannot overcome the spirit of gratitude that is in my soul today. I am so thankful. Amen. For the truth of God's word, these precious truths that we find and we hold evident in our lives. Amen. And today, I know that although life gets challenging, and although we are living in uncertain times, how many know inflation is high? Crime is high. Come on, the world is unstable. But life is good if you're a child of God. Praise God. Clap your hands unto the Lord and give him a hand clap of praise if your life is good and you're a child of God today. Amen. And church, there is a cost. There is a price of being made whole. You know, the Gospel of John is very unique. It's unique in the fact that 90% of the material that you will read in John's Gospel is unduplicated. It is not found. In that I mean, it is not found in the other three synoptic Gospels. The Gospel of John is very unique, amen. It's unique to the life that John lived. It's unique to his experiences. And we can thank the apostle for the terminologies like being born again, amen. It's here in the book of John that we read terminology like you must be born again, amen. Being born again and walking in the Spirit. Amen. How many want to walk in the Spirit today? You got to walk in the Spirit and not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Amen. We can thank John for these terminologies. Amen. Why is it that John's gospel is so much different than Matthew and Mark and Luke? It's different than the other three gospels because John spent half of his life living his life filled, Sister Melissa, with the Spirit of the living God. He wasn't speaking about what is to come. He was speaking about what he experienced. Having been written after the day of Pentecost, amen, we read John's writings, amen, and we understand that John spoke from experience. How many know there's no greater teacher than experience? What's the old saying? You can buy them books and send them to school, but there's no greater teacher than experience. Amen. John lived a life filled with the Spirit of God, and he spent his time writing in his gospel, amen, convincing us of the precious truths, amen, that we hold so dear today. How many is thankful today to be able to live a life filled with the Spirit of God? Amen. I'm thankful to be able to live a life filled with the Spirit of God today. It's in the Gospel according to John that we read about the wedding in Cana. We read about the conversation between the Lord and Nicodemus. We read about the conversation between the Lord and the woman at Jacob's well. We read about the woman who was caught in the act of adultery and the raising of Lazarus from the grave. And then we read about our text today, the man at the pool of Bethesda. It's here at the pool of Bethesda, John's writings teach us how to live a Spirit-filled life. At this time, amen, Bethesda has become somewhat of a healing shrine, if you will. It's a place where everybody believes if they can just get there and be the first one in the pool, they're going to get what they came to receive. But if they get there a little bit late, amen, if they're not the first one there, amen, it works for some, but it don't work for all. Ain't you glad to know that you ain't got to be the first one in the sanctuary to experience the power of God falling? Ain't you glad to know you ain't got to be the first one, although you should be the first one at the altar? You don't have to be the first one at the altar to experience the power of God falling in this place. Amen. The pool of Bethesda was somewhat of a healing shrine, a religious place where people come to receive their healing. Amen. And some people did receive what they needed there The problem was, it was only some who received what they needed at the pool of Bethesda. It worked for some, but it did not work for most. Can I tell you, the opposite is true in the house of God today. Come on, it ain't just one, it ain't just some. Come on, but anybody who comes, anybody who desires to be filled, anybody who desires to repent of their sins, anybody who desires to be buried with him in baptism, anybody who desires to be filled with the precious gift of the Holy Ghost can have the gift of eternal life today. Praise God. This ain't the pool of the Bethesda, folks. Come on, this ain't no healing shrine today. This ain't just a religious institute today. This is the house of the living God. This is where the Lord manifests himself. This is where the Lord shows up when his people begin to lift him high. This is where the Lord shows out when his people begin to put him first. This is the house of God today, not the pool of Bethesda. And I come to tell you, you can get what you came to receive right here and right now today in the house of the Lord. Hallelujah. It worked for some, but it didn't work for most. Man, countless lives have been changed by the gospel of Jesus Christ. The first one in the waters at the pool of Bethesda was cured. That's the way it is in this life. The first one is the winner. Huh? The first one is the winner. And the last one is the loser. Come on, the last one is the loser. That's the way it is in this life today. There's always somebody first and there's always somebody last. And that's why we so jealously guard our number one spot in this life, because we don't want to be the one to come in last. We don't want to be the loser. We don't want to be the one doing without. We don't want to be the one who comes in last. We got to be the winner. We got to be the winner. Don't come on, do it my way. Let me be first. Let me be the winner. I want a trophy. Amen. I want to be the winner today. We are hoping that we will get in that ideal church service. Huh? Come on, that perfect church service where every song is sung just right and the preacher says every word just right and everything that's said and everything that's done is just fitting to our soul and it's perfect for what we're going through and it's relative to where we are in our lives. But church, let me tell you something today. The church, let me tell you something. The Lord, the God that we serve today, he's not a relative God. He's not based on our relativity. Let me tell you something. Any day, any time, any moment, any place, anywhere, he can give you exactly what you need. He knows exactly what you're going through. And it don't matter if the service is going the way you want to. All you got to do is open your mouth and call out to him. All you got to do is be touched by him today. But we wait for that ideal moment. Because it's got to be perfect for us. We got to be first. We don't want to be last. Everything's got to be said and done just like we want at church. But the truth is, that's not the way it is in the kingdom of God. God doesn't have to have a perfect church service to heal your body. God doesn't have to have a perfect atmosphere to speak into your spirit today. Let me tell you something. Our God is bigger than that. Our God is bigger than what we're going through. Our God is bigger than our need today. All he's got to do is acknowledge us. All he's got to do is speak a word into our spirit today. And everything can change in a moment. Everything can change in a moment. Church, we don't have to be first all the time. Jesus said in Matthew 20, so the last shall be first and the first shall be last. Many be called, but few are chosen in the kingdom. Let me tell you something. The betrayed shall be blessed. Come on. The mocked shall be mighty. It ain't the way in the kingdom that it is in the world. We think and we get it in our minds that we gotta be first all of the time. Amen. The betrayed shall be blessed and the mocked shall be mighty. That's what Peter said in 1 Peter 4 and 12. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you, as though some strange thing had happened unto you. But Peter said, rejoice inasmuch as you are partakers of the sufferings of Christ, that when his glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy. Amen. And those who suffer with him are going to reign with him. Those in the kingdom of God, only those who suffer with him will be the ones to reign with him. We are just like, church, hear me today, we are just like those people gathering at the pool of Bethesda. Yeah, we are just like those folks, just like those impotent folk that are gathering at the pool of Bethesda. Some of us come to the house of God, we walk into church services for years waiting for that perfect moment. Come on, so we can receive what God has in store for us. Honey, if you're waiting for a perfect moment, you're going to wait the rest of your life. You don't need a perfect moment. You need God's moment. You don't need perfect timing. You need God's timing. Come on, somebody. You don't need a perfect atmosphere. You need God's atmosphere. You just need the Lord to move in your life. And he's bigger than what you're going through today. So stop trying to put our God in a box of relativity today. Because he's not based on our relativity. And not everything has to be to our perfect liking today. All we got to do is come in here and humble ourselves before God. Like Brother Paul said just a moment ago, all we got to do is come in here and put first things first. We got to worship God with all of our heart, all of our soul, all of our mind, all of our spirit. We got to put God first in our lives. Amen. We are just like those people at the pool of Bethesda. Some of us come into church services for years waiting for a perfect moment to receive what God has in store for us. We are the blind. We are the halt. We are the withered today. Our high-mindedness and our self-conceit keep us from seeing things God's way. Yeah, it does. Our high-mindedness and our self-conceit keep us from seeing things God's way. We are those blind, impotent folk. We are those people who just can't seem to see it God's way. We are the halt. We are the withered today. We are the blind today. We are those people at the pool of Bethesda today. And our high-mindedness and our self-conceit keep us from seeing things the way that God wants us to see them. We are the limping people. We are the crippled people. We are the lame people. We are the dried up people and the withered and the wasted. Listen, John used one single word to describe every single situation that was at the pool, and that was impotent folk. Impotent folk, the ones who cannot rise up. Come on. We are those people when we don't understand today that God is able to do anything and everything. Anything is possible. Let me tell you something. This man came to the pool of Bethesda that day fully, Brother Paul, anticipating that somebody else was going to beat him in the pool. He did. He knew before he ever went there, but somehow, some way, he mustered up enough courage to think maybe, just maybe, maybe there's a very slight chance that I might be the first one in the pool today. Come on. How many times do we walk into the house of God thinking, I know God can do it, but today's probably not going to be my day for him to do it. Let me tell you something. You ain't never going to get what God has for you as long as your thinking is that way. Come on. You ain't never going to get what God has in store for you as long as your perception is that way today. Man, this man came to the pool of Bethesda that day fully expecting that it was going to be just like every other day. And somebody else was most likely going to beat him, Brother Tommy, in the pool. Little did he know, he didn't have to get in the pool that day. He didn't have to get in that pool that day. Little did he know, he didn't have to wait for the troubling of the water. The Lord was going to show up and trouble his soul. The Lord was going to show up and shake up his life. Amen. But can I tell you today, there's a cost, there's a price of being made whole. We are just like these people at the pool of Bethesda. John used one word to describe them, impotent folk. You see, just like us, they tried to do it their way. How many tried to do it your way and it didn't work? I tried to do it my way, Brother Corey, and it didn't work. These folks were just like us. They tried to do it their way. They tried to be self-sufficient, and they got no results. Let me tell you something. You'll never be able to make it on your own. You might have grown up in a rough neighborhood. You might have developed the attitude, ain't nobody gonna never gave me nothing. I can make it on my own. You better get rid of that thinking, because you can't make it without Jesus today. You'll never be self-sufficient today. You'll never be great enough today. You'll never be big enough today. You'll never be good enough today. You will always need the divine help of your maker today. You'll always need him to come down and to touch you today. You'll always need him to speak into you today. You'll never be self-sufficient enough. You can make all the money in the world and you still won't be good enough. You can have all the friends in the world and you still will not be good enough. Because there's none good but God. There's none good but God today. We'll never be self-sufficient, church. We will always need an atmosphere like you have enjoyed today. You will always need the encouragement of the body of Christ. You will always need the atmosphere, the anointing, the presence, the sweeping of the Spirit, the blowing of the wind. You will never rise so high that you will not need those things today. You'll never be self-sufficient. They were completely powerless to change their lives on their own. We are completely powerless to change our lives on our own. We are completely powerless. Our best thinking got us to bad results. Man, I look back over my life, Brother Timmy, and I think about some of the decisions I made that led me straight to the gutter. I thought I had life figured out. I thought I knew what I was doing. I thought I had everything in my life planned. My greatest thinking led me straight to the gutter. We will never be self-sufficient. Come on, they were completely powerless to change their lives on their own. So they flocked to the pool of Bethesda, hoping that maybe today, somehow, some way, I will be the first one to get set in the pool. I'm so glad, Brother Edwin, today that we serve a God that's got more than one blessing in his bag. I'm so glad to know that the troubling of the water never stops when the Holy Ghost is moving. I'm so glad he's not just a single blessing God today, but he can bless you, and 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 you, and you, and even the one that's watching on Facebook Live right now, he can bless you, because our God is big enough. He holds all power in heaven and in earth today. He's not a single blessing God. He's not a single pool God. This is not a religious shrine today. This is the house of God where his people dwell at. My God. And we are blessed to be a child of God one more day today. Man. Let me tell you something. Listen to this preacher today. If you ever listen to anything in your life, listen to this preacher today. You don't need luck when you got the Holy Ghost. Somebody said, you're lucky. I said, no, sir, I'm blessed. Somebody said, you're lucky. No, sir, I got the Holy Ghost. Somebody said, you're lucky. No, sir, I'm a child of God. Somebody said, you're lucky. No, sir, I go to church faithfully. Somebody said, you're lucky. No, sir, I pay my tithes when I'm supposed to. I do what God asks of me. No, sir, I'm a child of God. I got the Holy Ghost today. I'm not lucky. I'm blessed. This is not a religious shrine today. This is the house of God. Clap your hands and magnify the Lord all over this house today. You don't need luck when you got the Holy Ghost. You don't need chance when you got the Spirit of the living God living inside you. You don't need chance. You don't have to come wondering, well, maybe today will be my lucky day. No, today life is good because I'm a child of God and I have counted the cost of living my life for Jesus. And I've counted it worth it all. Church, it's worth it all. Let me tell you something. I don't have to live this way. I get to live this way. Come on, I don't have to live this way. Nobody forces me to live this way. I'm privileged. I'm blessed. I get to live this way today. I said, all those rules, all those regulations, you're a legalist. I don't live by rules and regulations. I live by principles. I live by the principles of the Word of God. And let me tell you something, I don't need luck and I don't need chance. I got the Holy Ghost. I got the Spirit of the living God living in my life today, and so do you. So shout out right now, life is good. Shout out right now, life is good. Shout out right now, tell your neighbor, life is good, but there's a cost to being made whole today. Hallelujah. Life is good, church. Life is good when you weigh and you count the cost today. You don't need luck. You don't need chance. For when you were yet without strength. Come on, that's what those impotent folk were. They were the ones without the strength to rise up. That's what that word means. Not having the strength to rise up. That's what those impotent folk were. Those without strength. The Bible tells us that while you were without strength, when we were without strength in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. He died to make you free. He died to make you free. Come on, you didn't hear what I said today. I said he died to make you free. He gave his life that you could have life. He gave his life so you could be free, so you could have life, so your life could be good today. Don't live below your privilege today. Get in the church and give your life to Christ today. Life can be good. When we were without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. Church, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You weren't even living godly yet, and he loved you enough to give his life for you. Where else are you going to find somebody that loves you so much that while you was yet a sinner, he was willing to pay the most high price that you could have life, and not just life, a good life, life more abundantly. You know, we get so caught up thinking, man, heaven's going to be worth it all, and heaven is going to be worth it all. Somebody say heaven's going to be worth it all. Heaven's going to be worth it all, but I don't believe God intends for our life here to be miserable. I believe God intends for our life here to be good. I believe God intends for us to put Him first. I believe God intends for us to count the cost. I believe God intends for to bless us today. I believe God intends for us not to treat His house like some kind of religious shrine. This is the house of God. And every time we walk in here, the Spirit of God ought to be moving. Your hands ought to be lifting towards heaven. Your praises ought to be coming out of your mouth. And your God will inhabit those praises every single time. We don't serve a single blessing God today. He's got more than that in His bag. He's a great big God today. Church, while we were sinners, He died for us. Let me tell you something. Into this atmosphere of frustration, into this atmosphere of disappointment, into this atmosphere of expectation that somebody else is going to beat you into the pool, Jesus steps into this atmosphere. Jesus walks in as the mighty God in Christ. He heads over to one of the chief people who've been coming there. His body had been lame for 38 years. This man been gathering at the same pool. He was the chiefest among them. And the Lord walks right to the chiefest among them. And He says, "Wilt thou be made whole?" My God. I come to tell somebody who comes to the house of God every week thinking it's just the right thing that you're supposed to do. It is the right thing that you're supposed to do, but God's got something in store for you when you walk through those doors. He don't want you to leave the way you came. He don't want you to leave heavy. He don't want you to leave burdened. He don't want you to leave lost. He don't want you to leave confused. He wants to touch you today, and He wants to make you whole. My God, Jesus walks right up to the chiefest among them. The one who came was filled with expectation of failure. Somebody's going to beat me in the pool. And He walks right up to him and He says, "Sir, are you willing to be made whole?" Layman's terms, 21st century terminology. Are you willing to be made whole? Wilt thou be made whole? Now, this beggar had not asked Jesus for anything. Brother Jedi, he didn't come saying, "Lord, will you please make me whole?" He didn't come saying, "Every time I just need somebody to put me in a pool." Jesus walked up to him. Jesus came to him. And He says, "Sir, are you willing to be made whole?" But the man knew that if he were going to be made whole, it was going to cost him something. You see, those beggars are not that much different than the beggars that we see today. To give up your life as a beggar meant that you had to give up your life as people providing for you. So for the Lord to make him whole, he might have to get a job. My God, that will upset some people today. So if the Lord makes him whole, he can no longer count on the generosity of everybody else. He might have to go and do something, Brother Mike. You know why? Because there's a cost to being made whole. There's a cost to being made whole. You want to know why Jesus spent all of His time with the lost and the broken and the sick and the hurting? Because the whole need not a physician. So when you come into the house of God and you're that new person, and you're that new convert, and everybody's flocking to you and everybody's loving on you, let me tell you something. Whenever you become a strong child of God, you got to learn to encourage yourself. There's a cost to being made whole. Now, that's not to say that people shouldn't be friendly to you and people shouldn't love on you. But let me tell you something. That new convert, people will flock around and hold them up when they're weak. But when the Lord makes you whole, you got to learn to stand on your own feet. Huh? Living for God, being made whole, was going to cost this man something. Yeah, life is good, and God intends for our life to be good. Let me tell you something, living for God is going to cost you something. This man never asked Jesus for help. But Jesus offered him something. The man knew that if he were to be made whole, it was going to cost him some stuff. He was going to have to surrender his victim mentality. My God. God, help us if we got to surrender our victim mentality. God, help us if we got to get out of our comfort zone. God, help us if we got to think outside the box and do something different and do something that's pleasing to God instead of pleasing to ourselves. Living for God is going to cost you something. He was going to have to surrender his victim mentality. He was going to have to surrender his comfort zone. Because we all know that sometimes it's just easier to stay where you're at. It's easier sometimes to just accept things for the way they are. It's easier to stay where you're at than say, Lord, change me. Change me. Make me whole. Make me complete. Make me strong, Lord. Because let me tell you something. To whom, let me tell you something, little known, little required. But to whom much is given, much is required. So when the Lord makes you whole, and the Lord stands you on your own feet, and the Lord gives you strength, guess what? More is going to be required of you than when you were a babe in Christ. God never saved anybody to keep them on the milk. He never saved anybody. He never transformed a single life that he didn't intend for you to grow into a mature saint of God. God intends for every one of us to grow into mature saints of God. Your life can be wonderful. Your life can be good. God wants your life to be good, but you got to count the cost. You got to count the cost. So this man understands that if the Lord makes him whole, it's going to change everything for him. So he responds with an excuse. When the Lord says, sir, are you willing to be made whole? He says, well, I don't got nobody to put me in the pool. The Lord just dodges the whole thing. Goes right around him. Well, every time I try to go get into the pool, somebody beats me into the pool. But the Lord dodges the whole thing, Sister Vic, and just goes all the way around him and says, no, that's not what I said to you. I said, are you willing to be made whole? I didn't ask for your excuses. I asked you, are you willing to be made whole? I asked you, are you willing to count the cost? I asked you, are you willing to be strong? I asked you, are you willing that much be required of you? Because if you want to have much with God, much is going to be required of you. So the Lord says, are you willing? Amen. Are you willing? I don't have nobody to put me in the pool. Somebody always beats me in the water. If I can't be first, and the Lord can't bless me. Don't you let Brother Tim beating you to the altar keep you from coming to the altar. Our God's bigger than that. He can bless him. He can bless you. He can bless you both at the same time. And Sister Lissy too. He can bless everybody in this room today. There is no restraint to our God to save by many or by few. He holds all power in heaven and in earth today. This man responds with an excuse. I don't have nobody to put me in the pool. Jesus realizes that this man's perception is his problem. Turn to your neighbor and say, my perception is my problem. You never said anything truer in your life than when you said your perception is your problem. This man's perception, Sister Gail, was his problem. The way he saw it was his problem. He couldn't see being strong and being able to take care of himself. He was so used to somebody else beating him in the pool. Can I tell you that the devil will beat you down so long he'll make you think it's normal? Can I tell you life will be so hard on you it'll make you think you're supposed to accept it for what it is? But God wants your life to be good today. If I can't be first, the Lord can't bless me. Jesus realizes that the man's perception is his problem. Jesus bypasses his excuses and asks him again, wilt thou be made whole? You know what? He didn't judge that man's worthiness. He didn't even judge that man's faith. He wasn't even gauging this man's faith, Brother Peter. What he was gauging was his willingness. My God, we think that we got to have the faith to move mountains. We got to think we got to have the greatest faith. And come on, but Brother Mike talked about it just a few moments ago. The Lord wasn't judging this man's worthiness. The Lord wasn't judging this man's faithfulness. The Lord was judging his willingness. The Lord was asking him, are you willing for a change? Are you willing? If I make you whole, everything's going to change in your life. You got to count the cost. Are you willing? Are you willing? It reminds me what people say all the time. Well, I've been this way for a long time. Yeah, you have. Are you willing? I got nobody to put me in the pool. No, you don't. But are you willing? Well, you don't know how bad I've been hurt. No, I don't. But are you willing? You don't know how confused I am. No, I don't. But are you willing? You don't know how deep and how dark a place I'm in. No, I don't. But are you willing? The Lord's not judging your faith today. The Lord's not judging your abilities today. The Lord is judging. The Lord is measuring your willingness to come out from the impotent folk. And are you willing to raise up to a higher place in Christ Jesus today? The Lord is gauging our willingness. Are you willing to change your perception? Are you willing to come out from the impotent folk? Are you willing to surrender your victim mentality? Are you willing to get out of your comfort zone? Church, the Lord just needs to know if you're willing. You don't have to be the greatest saint of God to ever walk through the church. You just got to be a willing vessel. You got to be willing to lay some of these absolutes in your life. You got to be willing to practice some spiritual disciplines in your life. You got to be willing to be faithful to God in your life. You got to be willing to give Him your all today. You got to be willing to change your perception. Are you willing to pay the price for being made whole? There were benefits to being a beggar. You didn't have to go to work. You could count on everybody else giving you everything. This man was going to surrender all of that. You didn't have to make your own way. You lived on the generosities and the support of other people. But if you're made whole, all these benefits, they go away. It's then, see, You got to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. It's then when you become a man of God or a woman of God that you got to learn to encourage yourself. You can't count. Yeah, we'll always be our brother's keeper, but you got to learn to stand strong on your own. You got to learn to trust in God on your own. You can't always be a babe in Christ. You got to grow and you got to develop and you got to become spiritually mature. If you're made whole, all the benefits of being a beggar go away. You got to learn to stand strong on your own. Somebody told me about a prayer they read one time. I thought it was pretty funny. They read a prayer that said, Lord, so far today I've done really good. You ready for this? Lord, I've done really good today. I've been a saint today, Lord. So far today, I've done right. I haven't gossiped. Some of y'all need to hear me say that again. Lord, I haven't gossiped today. Lord, I haven't been grumpy today. Lord, I haven't been nasty today. Lord, I haven't lost my temper today. Lord, I haven't lied or cheated anybody today. I'm doing really good right now, Lord. But here in just a few moments, I'm going to be getting out of the bed. And I might need a little bit more help, Lord. So far, I've done really good. But here in a moment, I'm going to get up and I might need a little bit more help, Lord. If you're ever going to face anything, if you're ever going to be strong in Christ, you got to get out of the bed. You got to get out of the bed. You got to face it head on. You got to say, me and the Lord can do it together. We got the church to lean on. This ain't a religious shrine. I'll stay faithful to the house of God. And I know that every time I go there, the Lord will touch me and strengthen me. Me and the Lord, we can do it together. There is a price to being made whole, but I'm willing to count the cost. I'm willing to stand strong for Jesus. If you're ever going to face anything, you got to be willing to get out of the bed. Church, there's a price for being made whole. There's a price for being well today. You got to surrender some stuff to the Lord. You want life to be good. You want to come out from the midst of the impotent folk, tired of being pulled down all the time. You better count the cost of living for Jesus. It's going to cost you some stuff today. There's a price to being made whole. Stand with me as the musicians come quickly. You know, if we are not careful, we will build a support system to justify every excuse that we have. You know, I have even seen people take verses in the Bible and try to justify homosexuality. If you ain't careful, you will build your own support system to justify every excuse you have. This man was full of excuses. The Lord asked him a simple question. He said, are you willing? Are you willing to change your perception? Are you willing to stand on your own feet? Are you willing to face the challenges that stand before you? How many know? Brother Paul was talking about, you know, it's not hard to live for God. It's not so hard to live for God But it's not always easy to maintain the spiritual disciplines that make living for God easy. Yeah, this is the best life I've ever lived. I talked to you just a few moments ago about how I was driving to church today, and I just had this feeling just overcome me how fortunate I really am to hold these precious truths in my hands. I was thinking, my God, how blessed am I to be apostolic today, to know who Jesus is. To know he's not number one of number three. To know he holds all power in heaven and earth. To know my life is in his hands. I am so blessed today to be apostolic. My life is so good. I have challenges. I have problems. You have challenges. You have problems. But if you got the truth today, your life is good. Your life is good. You just got to count the cost of living for Jesus today. Some people's going to turn their back on you. Some people's going to call you a holy roller. Some people's going to say you're mad for speaking in those tongues. They're going to say everything you can think of. If you want to be whole, you want your life to be good, you got to count the cost. I wouldn't lie to you today when I tell you it's worth it all. I don't have to live this way. I could turn today, Brother Eddie, and I could go back to my former life. I don't have to live this way. I get to live this way. I see the benefits of living for God. Life is so wonderful as a child of God. All hell will assail you at times, but victory belongs to you. Victory belongs to the church today. If we're not careful, we'll build a support system justify every excuse we have in our lives. The truth is, you're right. You're right. Some people probably have hurt you. The truth is, you're right. Some of the things that have happened in your life you didn't deserve. I don't know why you had to go through those things. You didn't deserve to go through those things. Some of those things are not your fault. But the bottom line is, the Lord wants your life to be good. Life is good as a child of God. There's a cost. The Lord wants you to be whole. The Lord wants you to be well. It doesn't take a perfect moment. Doesn't take a perfect atmosphere, but it does take your willingness to change the way you see things, your willingness to stand strong in the face of adversity, your willingness to hold on when times get tough. Are you willing to pay the price to be made whole? You limped into this place blind, halt, withered, to this sacred place that is so much more than a religious shrine today. This is not the pool of Bethesda. So much more. We don't begin to understand how blessed we are today. We don't begin to understand the things that the Lord has diverted from us today. The protection that he gives us today. We limped in here blind. We limped in here halt and withered to this sacred place that's so much more than the pool of Bethesda today. But you don't have to leave that way. Every time all those people gathered around those pools, only one person was leaving different. We can walk in the house of God today and all 125 of us can leave different than we came today. My God. Life is good. Life is good. The Lord is wonderful. You limped into this place today. You limped in here halt and blind and withered, but you don't have to leave that way today. The question is, are you willing to surrender and to receive what God has in store for you? These altars are open for the blind, the halt, and the withered. Most of all, these altars are open for the willing. Are you willing today? Are you willing today? These altars are open as we sing this song to the Lord.